Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We, of course, have been following South Africa's vaccine drive, and we wanted to check in with Dr. Nicholas Crisp to find out exactly how we were doing. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. Fine, thanks, and greetings to the listeners.
So how are we doing? The numbers are certainly picking up. We're over 12 million now, aren't we?
Yeah, that's very nice always to reach a target and past the 12 million mark, past the 12,250,000 mark, in fact. But it's early days still. Remember, our target is to get to 70% of the 40 million adults, so we've got a long way to go still. Another 18 to 19 million.
When you look at it that way, it's still a long mountain to climb, but at least we're on our way. At least, I mean, 12 million shots having been given is a very, very decent number.
12 million shots, but it's not 12 million people
yet,
because some people have had two, so that's obviously another target that we watch the whole time.
Right.
Look, we're obviously pleased with progress, but can't let get our guard down now. We really, really have to push now.
A lot of questions came through to us about healthcare workers that would have received the Johnson & Johnson much earlier in the year. Is there a thought about giving them boosters or allowing boosters for them in the next short while?
So there's been, you know, the Sosonke program's been following up and watching the immunity of the people who got vaccines early on. And the indications that we've been given so far is that it's not necessary to give boosters yet, which in a way is very good news because it means that there's a long and sustained immunity in most people who've been vaccinated early.
Right.
But it also means we have those vaccines available to get at least one shot to other people so that we can protect more and more of us.
So that's very interesting and that's very significant. Are we seeing a longer protection with the Johnson & Johnson versus what they've seen, for example, in Israel with the Pfizer's, where they're already giving the third shot now?
Well, I think, you know, for us it's very early days. When you've got to a point where you've vaccinated more than half your population, the dynamics change, and you start to see a larger proportion of those who had been vaccinated being infected again. When you have as few as ours, then obviously the infections are dominated by people who haven't been vaccinated. So one must be very careful of those statistics. It's just until we get a large proportion, and I'm talking 60% of our population, of our adult population vaccinated, we shouldn't really be talking about
it. No, in fact, that wasn't really my question. My question was really more about the different vaccines. In other words, have we seen longevity, a longer protection period with the Johnson & Johnson, given what you're saying around the Sosonke trial versus what we seem to be seeing in other countries where after 6 months or whatever that period would be, there seems to be a dip if they've used Pfizer.
So look, we've had Johnson & Johnson in use now since February, just from the start of the Sosonke trial. So it's now we're sitting in the end of August going into September. But we only really started using Pfizer vaccine just the other day.
Right, it's
true. It might seem like a lifetime away for us, but it's only 3 months.
Right.
And so it's very early days to try and estimate whether there's waning of immunity or breakthrough immunity, infection through the immunity. It's only 3.5 months.
Right.
I think we're not quite sure how it's behaving here yet.
And in terms of the under 18s, is that not even on the table given that we've got so many people to go still?
Now, obviously the research goes on and at some point I'm sure there'll be sufficient research to show us which ages are, it's good to vaccinate. We know that for Pfizer vaccine, we're expecting a report sometime in maybe September or October on 12 to 17 year olds.
Right.
But even then, we wouldn't necessarily open up to that age group until we have got a better proportion of the older population vaccinated. Very similar to what we've done so far. We try hard to get the most vulnerable people vaccinated first and then start using vaccine on others.
Of course, the advantage of teenagers getting teenage vaccinated is that they are running around a lot more than us old folk are running around. So
yeah, that's true.
So, you know, there is some advantage, obviously, in that. but obviously it's understandable. How is it going with the over 18 years old?
Yeah, quite good. It's a very big population group. There's 17 million people in that group, so it will take a while to show a higher percentage, but the numbers are ticking over nicely. Looks like around about 80,000 people in that age group are coming forward for vaccinations every day, and we'll just have to see that we can sustain it.
Yeah, because that's what happens, unfortunately, is it starts off the people that are desperate or really, really wanted it, rush to get it, and then it just seems, it does seem to waver a bit. Anecdotally, what I've seen is that even people that have been a bit on the fence, once they start to see more and more people around them getting vaccinated, they kind of also just get caught up in the process and just go along with it and get vaccinated. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, sure. We hear it in families and in groups of friends where there's confidence when one or two have been vaccinated and they see that those people, nothing happened to them and they're all fine. So then they're less intimidated by what they thought was going to happen. It's also about accessibility. So sometimes the vaccination station is not quite at the time of day or the place where I need it to be when I have got a bit of spare time. So I put it off.
Mm.
And then suddenly see someone in the family or close friend is in hospital who wasn't vaccinated and then really go and make a plan. So we have to make sure that we make vaccines very accessible, that we make information very easy to understand, that we get the facts available for people to make their own decisions. But I do think that society will be the one that determines how things are going to pan out.
What about, and a few people have asked us this question as well, is what about when the statistics are released in terms of number of people in hospitals, for example, that it's indicated vaccinated, fully vaccinated versus unvaccinated? Just to give people the indication as to how significant that difference is.
Yeah, so we are looking at that now. Obviously, there's lots of factors to look at and how to present it.
And privacy
issues. Did you get a Johnson & Johnson and then still end up back in hospital? Did you get really sick? Were you, was it one dose Pfizer or two dose Pfizers? What was the gap?
Right.
So collecting the data is one thing, but presenting it in a way that is meaningful is a whole different story.
Mm.
So we are obviously looking at that. For our own purposes, we are extremely interested to know, that the vaccines are working and that we are giving them at the appropriate time. And so we are chasing that information.
Yeah, I would imagine that is. And I just think it's a very powerful way to show people without any of the trauma how simply the difference that a vaccine makes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we hear more and more now hospitals are saying they haven't got anybody vaccinated in their ICU. Only unvaccinated people in the ICUs. And that in itself is a very, very telling thing. It's those very personal anecdotal stories that have far more impact on people than us quoting statistics the whole time.
It's true. That's what makes a difference when somebody hears the story about somebody who could have had the vaccine and chose not to. It's just a tragedy that never needed to happen. So we do encourage everybody, if you can assist anyone in your household, around you, in your community, just help people to register, help take them. And it's so easy. There are so many wonderful community organizations that are making it easy. The hospitals are easy. The sites are efficient and people are well trained. I don't think I've heard, you barely hear a negative story about something going on at one of these vaccination sites, which is also an incredible thing. The amount of goodwill and good feeling that is taking place at these vaccination sites.
Yeah, I mean, it really is remarkable. If you think how hard and how long health workers have been working now in the face of something that's really aggressive with all this PPP they have to wear, wear all the time. It's hot and it's stuffy, and to maintain your sense of humor and to continue when you've seen colleagues and friends and people around you being sick and dying, it is actually remarkable and how resilient the health system has been.
Yeah, incredible. And just well done to them and well done to you for pushing this the way that you are. Dr. Nicholas Crisp, thank you as always for making yourself available for us and for our listeners.